Well, it was not unusual for people to confuse Reverend Quek and me, because in those days when we were in seminary in the United States, we are often found together. So they confuse us, and whether I'm Swan Yu or whether I'm Jeffrey. Anyway, the Lord is good. The Lord calls us not only to salvation, but also to service. And what a wonderful privilege it is to be called the children of God. And what a privilege it is to be called to serve Him in the full-time ministry. How can a person know the will of God in his life? How can a person be sure that God has called him into the full-time ministry? Now, in the Old Testament and New Testament times, in the days of the Bible, the Lord revealed His will to His people in spectacular ways. Sometimes the Lord reveals His will to His people through a dream or through a vision. Sometimes He speaks to them with His voice. Sometimes He sends His angels to deliver His message or His word. For example, the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush and called him to be Israel's deliverer, to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel received the call of God through his voice. God mentioned and called his name. And in Numbers, you turn to Numbers chapter 12, we are told that the Lord spoke to his people through visions and dreams. Numbers 12. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses, not so, who is faithful in all mine house, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently or face to face, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So in days past, God spoke to his people, his prophets, through visions and dreams. And Moses was especially privileged and special, for God spoke to him mouth to mouth, directly, even face to face. How about today? Does God continue to speak to his people in such spectacular ways? Through visions and dreams, through his voice, or through his angels? If we want to know God's will, can we pray that the Lord will give us a vision or a dream or to speak to us audibly? How should we seek God's will in our life today? How can we know for sure what God wants us to do in our life? Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. The answer is found in this passage, Hebrews chapter 1. It would be wonderful, would it not be, if God were to speak to us by his own voice through a vision or a dream, and then I know for sure what is his will for me. And in many of the churches today, especially in the charismatic churches, which stress a whole lot on visions and dreams and prophecies and seeing visions and hearing God's voice, well, they seek all these things. But how does the Lord speak to us today? Well, here in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days," and we are in the last days. He has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so, here we are told, yes, in times past, in the days of old, God spoke in diverse manners, in various ways, through visions, through dreams, through his voice, through his angels. And he did so to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who is the living word. For when Christ has come, God manifest in the flesh, he has revealed all there is about God the Father to us. As Jesus told Thomas, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And all the words that the Father has given to the Son has communicated to us. He has spoken to us most perfectly in the second person of the Holy Trinity, our Messiah himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. And the living word has given to us his written word, the Holy Scriptures. And when Jesus came to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies concerning himself, he also expounded on the Old Testament and gave the meaning of the Old Testament scriptures, which the apostles who sat under his feet wrote the New Testament for us. And so today we have not only the living word who has already come, who has died for us on the cross, shedding his precious blood, who was buried and on the third day rose from the grave. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Indeed, he is the truth. I am the resurrection and the life. And indeed, he proved the truthfulness of his word by being raised from the dead. And now he is alive and sitting at the right hand of God, our great high priest, our mediator, our intercessor, our savior. And our Savior has given to us also his written word, which today we have in our hands, all of it. And so how does the Lord speak to us today? Through his living word, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we believe on him, then Christ indwells us by his Spirit. When we are born again and the Spirit indwells us, then the Lord guides us by his Spirit, for his Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide us into all truth. And where is his truth found? His truth is found in his word. Most infallible, inerrant, and very pure and perfect. So the perfect word of God, the living word, has given to us his perfect scripture, the written word. And it is through this scripture that today we know the will of God for our lives. Is there any verse in the Bible that tells us that the Lord has stopped using visions and dreams and all these spectacular ways of revealing himself to us today? And the answer is yes. We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is a very clear passage talking about the cessation or the temporariness of visions and dreams and prophecies and tongue speaking that the Lord had used in time past to reveal his will and his word to his people. I turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 8, we read, charity never fails, never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And the word fail there is a very strong word for cessation. It means obliteration, beyond recall. Right? Whether there be tongues, they shall cease, they shall stop. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And the words here, vanish away, is the same word for the word fail. Prophecies, they shall fail. They shall disappear. They shall be obliterated beyond recall. So will knowledge through visions and dreams. All these things will fail, will vanish away, will disappear, will end. They are only temporary means and partial means by which God reveals His will and His word to us in times past. And the question is, when will all these things cease? When will prophecies cease? When will knowledge through visions and dreams cease? When will God stop communicating to us in such spectacular ways? Well, the answer is found in the next few verses. Verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. All right? And the word know here goes back to verse 8, talking about the gift of knowledge through visions and dreams. For we know in part. Knowledge through visions and dreams. Visions and dreams are God's partial means of revealing His will and His word to us. So we know in part, bit by bit, piecemeal. And we prophesy in part. And of course, this goes back again to verse 8 with regard to the gift of prophecies. When will all these cease? When will God stop communicating to us through visions and dreams and through His prophecies, whether delivered by men or by angels? Well, in verse 10, we have the answer. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And here, the word perfect is an adjective. It describes something. What does it describe? The word perfect here is used 18 times in the New Testament. And every time it is used with reference to the Word of God. The perfect revelation of God. When the perfect revelation of God comes, when the perfect Word of God comes, all these partial means of God's revelation through visions and dreams or prophecies will all cease and pass away because we don't need them anymore. Because why? We now have the complete and perfect Word of God. All the 66 books of the Bible that God had intended His church to possess, we have it today. In fact, we are very privileged people. The believers in the Old Testament and the believers in the New Testament, they do not have the complete Word of God as we have today. Because in those days, the Scriptures were in the process of being written. And God had to communicate to His people through visions and dreams and prophecies so that His prophets and His apostles might pen those words into Scripture. But today, we have the complete Word of God, the perfect Word of God. And so we are told today to just go by this infallible guide, this inerrant book that comes not from earth, but from heaven itself, whose author is none other than our God and our Savior. And how may we know the will of God? You don't need a vision. You don't need a dream. If you want to know the will of God, the Apostle Peter tells us there is a more sure word of prophecy. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 17 tells us, and he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So we should we continue to hear or to seek to hear God's voice speaking? God did speak. And Peter did hear the voice from God the Father in heaven commending the Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Peter says, well, don't think that we are so privileged to hear God's voice. Actually, you are very privileged because let me tell you this. We have a better word. We have a more sure word of prophecy, verse 19.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy. And what is this more sure word? Not just sure word, more sure. And the word of prophecy is none other than the Holy Scriptures. For we read on, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. For the Scriptures make everything very clear and very plain. What God requires of us. What God wants us to do with our life. How to know the will of God. The Bible makes it very clear and very plain. Like a light that shineth in the dark place. A more sure word of prophecy. Verse 20, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And of course, this refers to the Holy Scriptures, which we have in our hands today. Every word of it, all of it, God has inspired His words perfectly. And He has supernaturally preserved His words for us. His word has been kept pure in all ages and in the 21st century in which we read, which we live today. We can read all the words, the same words that the prophets had in the past, the same words that the apostles had in the past, the same words that the reformers had in the days of the Protestant Reformation, the same words we have today, all of it. For God has promised to preserve His words. And today, we are not shortchanged in any way. You want to know God's word and where it is. You want to know God's will. God doesn't play hide and seek with us. He wants us to be certain with regard to His word. And once we have His word, we will know His will. And once we are saved and we are born again, the Holy Spirit in our hearts will lead us into the right way, will guide us into all truth. And He will lead us and guide us step by step in life's journey. So this word is very important, dear friends. We don't need visions and dreams today. We don't need God to prophesy and predict for us our future. We don't need to hear God's voice. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure word of Scripture. And as we seek to live our lives in a holy manner, in a Christ-like way, and we walk closely with the Lord, we will know His will, because as our lives are transformed and the affections of our heart are the affections of God, and when our minds are being transformed, not being conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And as the days go by, we more and more have the mind of Christ. Then we know what is Christ's will for us in our lives. For what He thinks, we think. And when we pray to Him, the Lord will direct us and prompt us and guide us. This is what I want you to do. Turn to Romans chapter 12. How to know the will of God. You want to know the will of God? Not only must you know the living word, you must be born again. You must have the Spirit indwelling you to guide you. You not only must have the written word, the perfect word of God, the Scriptures that we have today, you also need to live a godly and a Christ-like life. Verse 1 and 2 tells us, in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, that you may ascertain, that you may determine and know for sure what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. How did the Lord call me to full-time
Christian service. Well, there was no vision. There was no dream. I heard no voice. Sometimes I wish the Lord would speak so directly. But, well, knowing the scriptures, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And how does the Lord normally call a person to full-time ministry today? Well, it is true. The inward testimony and witness of the Spirit, the convicting and the conviction of the heart. It was a very intense desire, a very intense feeling. Or in biblical terms, you call it a conviction that this is what the Lord wants me to do, to serve Him in the full-time ministry. And how do you know this? Well, how do you know you're in love? You just know. How do you know you're called? You just know. As you live your Christian life, as you continue to study and meditate on God's word, and as you seek to draw close to the Lord, well, the Lord will reveal what is His plan and His desire for you, what He wants you to do in your life. So in those days, well, I did my level best with the Lord's help to live a godly, a Christian life. I was very active and very zealous in church, participating in whatever activities there were so that I would grow in my Christian life. So I attended the fellowship meetings, attended prayer meetings, attended church camps, served in the choir, taught in Sunday school. And as the days go by, well, the Lord just planted a seed, this desire in my heart, to want to serve Him with all my life. And then as the word was preached from the pulpit with regard to the second coming of Christ, that the Lord's coming is very near and very soon, well, the Lord speaks to me through the pulpit ministry of the Sunset Gospel Hour in those days, in the early 1980s. In those days, there was a series of messages on the second coming of Christ. Well, the Lord spoke to me. I'm coming back very soon. What are you going to do with your life? Time is running fast by. There's no time to spare. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Then, all right, Lord, let me give my life to serve Thee. And the Lord gave that desire inside. And the Lord not only spoke through His word, but one word that specially touched me was 2 Timothy 2:15, which early on, you just sang, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, by the grace of God, I did well enough in my A-level exams to qualify for university. And I had a place reserved for me in the National University of Singapore. And after my national service, I can go in. But during the last 6 months of my national service, the Lord spoke in a very powerful way in my heart. The conviction became stronger. Of course, I told the Lord, Lord, if it's just a passing desire, if you have not really called me to ministry, take this desire that I had in my heart away. But then the desire never left since junior college days when I had this desire to want to serve the Lord. I didn't know when to go in. But during the last 6 months of my national service, this desire became very, very overwhelming. And the Lord did not allow it to abate. It did not dissipate. It was not taken away. It became stronger and stronger. And so finally, when the letter came from the NUS, will you be coming in? All right. After you complete your national service, immediately I replied, no. And they asked for the reason. I said, I'm going to study theology in the Bible college. And, well, it was something very personal. And so I shared it with the leaders of my church in those days, the elders, and they met with me. Of course, they were concerned for me that I do not make the wrong decision. And after some discussion, they counseled me and say, well, since you have already a place in the university, it is our advice to you that you go and study in the university first. So after you go through university studies, you know, it will make you a more effective servant for God because you'll be more open-minded and you'll think more broadly. Well, I'm not sure if that is one criterion for faithful ministry. The Bible tells us we ought to think biblically, not openly. And it's not that I did not want to heed their advice, but I said I could not help it. I knew that if I went to study in the university for those 3 or 4 years, I would be utterly miserable. My heart will be somewhere else. I knew it for sure. But they were rather disappointed with me, and they said, well, since you will not listen to our advice, well, you go your own way, we'll not support you nor bless you in what you're going to do. Well, the Lord's conviction was so strong, I cannot run away. I knew I'll be utterly miserable if I did something else. And the reasoning is this, well, if the Lord would call you to be a lawyer, yeah, you go and study in law school. If the Lord has called you to be a doctor, you go to medical school. If the Lord has called you to be an engineer, yes, you go to engineering school. But if the Lord has called you to be a minister of the gospel, rightly, you should go to Bible college. And that was how the Lord confirmed it in my heart. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So Bible college it is. Many people think that I was very foolish. And one elder said, well, you know, there are many people wanting to go to the university, can't get in. You have a place and you want to get out. So foolish. Well, you just can't run away from God's call that you know to be very real in your heart, in your mind, and in your life. Just can't run away. And you will have no peace until you surrender to Him. It's very much like the call to Christian salvation. We know, you know, we at one point in time had been living in sin and utterly miserable. And then the good news was preached to us. And we are told to repent, but we refuse to repent. But still, the word of God is being preached. The gospel is being sounded out. And we are being convicted of our sin. And until the day we say, Lord, I surrender myself to Thee. And I believe, I confess all my sins. Please, forgive me of my sins and change my life. Then all the burdens roll away. And we cannot run away from this special call of God. Even for us, when we came to the point of salvation, we born again. No peace until we surrender and say, Lord, I believe. In the same way, the call to Christian service is like that. It's like you're born the third time. You're born again, and then you're born again and again. The call to Christian service is like this. This intense conviction in the heart that you will not be happy at all until you surrender your life to me and serve me full time. And you cannot run away. You try to run away, the more unhappy your life will be. When you surrender, then there is this peace and this happiness. And of course, going into full-time service, well, there may be many uncertainties, right? What will happen in the future? Who will provide for our needs or my needs? Well, the Lord is our provider and He will take care of everything. And the Lord has indeed provided not only sufficiently, but more than adequately. So I entered into the Far Eastern Bible College in 1985, July. Well, this is July 2005, 20 years already. Seems like a long time, but looks so fast, just like yesterday. And is there any regret? No regrets whatsoever. Any complaints? No complaints whatsoever. Because my Lord and my Savior, my Master is so good to me. In fact, day by day, I'm more and more happy in the Lord, doing His will, serving Him, knowing that this is the place He wants me to be. That's the happiest thing in life, knowing where God wants you to be. You can be in the, you know, the most deserted place or a poverty-stricken place. And if it is the Lord's will for you to be there, to serve Him, to be a witness for Him, you'll be happy. And if you run away from God's will and you are found in a place that is in accordance to your own will, you want to be there because it's a rich place. It is a comfortable place. And you're there. It may be very rich. This place may be very rich and very comfortable, but you feel most miserable because it is not God's will for you to be there. Of course, our Christian life and our Christian service is not a bed of roses. There are difficulties. There are obstacles. There are trials and testings. There are oppositions. And as the days go by, all these things don't get easier and easier. The ministry gets harder and harder, especially in these last days where there's a whole lot of unbelief and where there's so little faith. It's getting harder and harder to minister the Word of God. Because the opposition, the unbelief is so great. But you press on. Although it's getting harder and harder, the day is also getting happier and happier. You're just happy to be able to serve the Lord where you are. That little corner God has put you in. And so I thank the Lord that He has given me the privilege to serve Him in the Far Eastern Bible College. My ambition when I was young was to be a school teacher. If I had gone to university, I would have studied English, history, political science. Not that I want to be a politician. I don't think I will succeed at all as a politician. But I wanted to be a teacher, a school teacher. And so the Lord says, since you want to be a school teacher, then you better teach my word. Instead of teaching history, teach His story, God's story. Teach His word. And so I'm very thankful for this and grateful in my life how the Lord has called me not only to salvation, but also to service. And I pray that the Lord may also speak to some hearts this evening. Are you struggling in your life with regard to what is God's will? The first thing is make sure the will of God for you is to be saved, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a believer? Are you saved? And if you are saved and you are a believer, then God has a good will, a good plan for your life. If you're outside of Christ, there is no good plan for you because your ultimate destination is eternal judgment in hell. You want to be found in God's good book. You want your name to be written in the Lamb's book of life. Then God has a good will and a good plan for you. And all things will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So you want to know the will of God? Better first obey His very first will, which is for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins and repent and believe. Then, how about God's will for my life ahead? You seek Him. You live your life prayerfully. You live your life in a godly way, in obedience to His words. And as you grow more and more in the knowledge of God's word, then God also will give you the wisdom to know what He wants you to do in your life as the days go by. So may the Lord help us. And I pray that the Lord may call some. The Lord may call more to full-time Christian service, to study and to be trained at the Far Eastern Bible College. For the harvest is truly plenteous. The laborers are few. We have a lot of international students at the Far Eastern Bible College. 79% of our students come from foreign countries. And we thank God that we can have them, because that is the college's missions work. We train them, and when they go back to serve in their own countries, they are the best missionaries for their own countries. And when they're armed with God's truth, the whole counsel of God, they can be very effective for the Lord. We thank God for all these international students. But how about our local students? Only 21%. Can there be more? Why are we not answering? Why are our young men and women not answering to God's call? Will we not say tonight, Lord, here am I, send me, like Isaiah? And if the Lord is speaking to your heart, I pray you may submit to His will. If you try to run away, you will not have peace in your life. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank Thee. For Thou art the captain of our life, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us not to be captain of our own lives, for we will surely pilot ourselves into the wrong way. But help us always to have Jesus Christ as our captain and our pilot to lead us in the right way, the narrow way that leads to life. Help us not to seek to do our own will, but always to submit to Thy good will. And it's only then that we will find joy and happiness and peace in our lives. So help us, Lord, we pray, and bless each one tonight who has come to worship Thee and to seek Thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.